The former head of Greece's Orthodox Church, Archbishop Christodoulos, was buried in Athens on Thursday after 4 days of mourning across the nation. The ecumenical patriarch Bartholomew I, spiritual leader of the world's 250 million Orthodox faithful, presided at the funeral, which was also attended by a Vatican delegation led by Cardinal Paul Poupart and Bishop Brian Farrell, secretary of the Pontifical Council for Christian Unity. The Archbishop died on Monday at the age of 69 following a seven-month battle with cancer. His meeting with Pope Benedict in 2006 was seen as the start of a new era of cooperation between Catholics and the Greek Orthodox Church, following on from Pope John Paul's meeting with the Archbishop during his visit to Athens in 2001. That visit was strongly opposed by many members of the Greek Orthodox Synod, and in other aspects of his decade-long leadership too, the Archbishop was seen as a colourful and sometimes controversial figure.
I think among the public, he'd be remembered as someone who was constantly on the television, opposing government moves to liberalise society, opposing government moves to row back on the entrenched rights of the Greek Orthodox Church.
Felix Cawley is an expert on the Orthodox world and editor of Forum 18 news service reporting on religious rights and freedoms.
For example, he led a long campaign, including with street rallies, against removing the religion category on identity cards, which many religious minorities regard as a kind of a symbol of their second-class status and as an excuse for government officials to keep them down, to keep them in their place and to restrict their rights. So he'd be remembered really as a populist figure who knew how to tap into a certain mood among at least part of the Greek population who longed for the glories of Hellenism, the glories of a coalition between the Orthodox Church and the state, the old symphonia of the Byzantine era, perhaps.
Let's look a little bit at his background then, how he came to hold these kinds of attitudes.
Well, that's quite interesting because he was born up in the north in Xanthi, very close to the borders with Bulgaria and Turkey. This is part of Greece that only became part of the Greek Republic after the First World War. There's a large Muslim population there. There's a lot of ethnic Bulgarians as well. And in Greece, there's very strong national identity around the nation, the language, and the church. And this is part of Greece which doesn't really fit in. And perhaps he came from this region where the long historical tensions with neighboring populations, the Turks especially, and also the Bulgarians, but part of his mental picture that Orthodoxy and Hellenism were embattled and had to be defended. So he had this in his bloodstream, so to speak. But interestingly, he also studied at a Catholic college in Athens. His parents brought him down to Athens, and his brother as well, when they were quite young. So he was exposed to other faiths as well through that, but yet that perhaps made him more entrenched in his view that Orthodoxy was the right path, that all other faiths were heretical or just plain wrong, and that the Greek church had preserved the purity of faith and in fact had purified the civilization of the ancient Greeks, the pagan civilization, and brought Christianity into it, and sort of refining both so that all the glories of ancient pre-Christian Greek civilization were sort of melded together with Orthodox Christianity.
And yet, despite these strongly held views, he was also the man responsible for forging closer relations with the Catholic Church, wasn't he?
That's right. Well, from 1985, he was the ecumenical secretary, really, the head of the ecumenical department of the Greek church. So he had contacts with other faiths through that. But he's remembered really for defying a lot of the more rigid Greek Orthodox in 2001 when Pope John Paul II made the historic visit to Greece. Christodoulos was very pointed in saying he was welcoming him as head of state, as head of the Vatican, not as a religious leader with any kind of legitimacy. He also put great pressure on Pope John Paul II to apologize for all the terrible things that the Catholics had done against the Orthodox populations over many centuries. And Pope John Paul II, who obviously was very keen on the Catholic Church apologizing for many historic wrongs over the years, Pope John Paul II did issue an apology for the way that Catholics and Western Christians had behaved, especially during the Crusades. So I think that Christodoulos kind of straddled that one quite neatly. He could show local people who objected to his even meeting Pope John Paul II and welcoming him to Greece that he had gained some concessions out of him, while at the same time opening up ties to the Vatican. And Christodoulos did attend Pope John Paul II's funeral and did make a return visit to the Vatican to meet Pope Benedict in December 2006, which was a fairly cordial meeting. They signed a joint theological agreement and so on. So I mean, he was open to contacts with the Vatican.
Archbishop Christodoulos also had a rather controversial relationship with the ecumenical patriarch, didn't he?
That's right. I mean, the Orthodox churches have long had mutual suspicions and tensions over primacy, jurisdiction, and traditionally, many of the dioceses in northern Greece, the so-called new territories, under the direct control of the ecumenical patriarch, not the primate of the Greek church in Athens. And so there was tension there, and in even 2003, there were several months when there was a break in relations, and during the liturgy, the mutual recognition of each other was suspended, which is very embarrassing, really, for both sides. I think Bartholomew was very unhappy with the actions that Christodoulos, the conflict that Christodoulos triggered and the challenging to his authority. But this was eventually smoothed over because both of them have to live with each other. And the position of the ecumenical patriarch Bartholomew in Istanbul is fairly precarious. And I don't think ultimately the Greek church would want to make life any more difficult for Bartholomew. But also something that annoyed other people was the meddling that Christodoulos engaged in other patriarchates, which have traditionally been very Greek-dominated, especially the Jerusalem patriarchate, where he really engineered the election of Irenaeus as patriarch of Jerusalem, only for Irenaeus to be unseated rather unceremoniously a couple of years later over allegations that he'd been selling church-owned land to Israelis and this type of thing, engaging in very dodgy business practices.
Who do you think that the synod is likely to look to for the next leader in Athens?
Well, it's completely unknown. I think the Christodoulos obviously was named because he was close to the previous incumbent, Archbishop Seraphim. He was right at the heart of the church. People saw him as someone who could bring modernization, bring a public visibility to the church, sort out many of the problems, put it on a proper footing. He established websites, radio stations, a lot of charitable activity, helping trafficked women, for example, single mothers, a very practical sort of things. And he also set up the first Greek church charity to conduct overseas aid. He set up an office for the European Union. So, I mean, he did all the organizational work to bring the church into the modern world, to help it to tackle today's problems. But his very public persona was so dominant that it's difficult to see who else will step into his shoes, whether they'll go for someone completely different or someone in the same mold.
And my thanks there to Felix Corley, editor of Forum 18 News Service.